Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're going to talk about a new film, Love and Engineering. It has premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival, screening in major cities nationwide. And the film follows a Bulgarian software engineer living in Finland who thinks he can crack the code for love. Using a theory he's developed, Tanas Boev has found himself a wife. He's eager to test his hypothesis on some of his geeky single friends. Together, this charming group of computer whizzes conducts a series of experiments hoping to solve the mystery of attraction and establish a scientific approach to romance. If love is a series of interactions that inspire emotion, why not create the circumstances to elicit the proper response and hack love? Well, director Tonislav Ristov, who previously directed Rules of Single Life, brings us into labs and night spots as the band of engineers puts the love hack to the test. And so we bring on the director, Tonislav Ristov, I believe from, is it Helsinki?
I originally am Bulgarian, but I've been living in Finland, in Helsinki, for the last 12 years.
Okay. All right. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Tonislav Ristov?
Yes, it's quite there.
close enough. All right. Okay. So I understand that your previous film, documented Rules of Single Life, came out in 2011. You examined your own divorce, that of four friends. So you had marriages breaking apart in the previous film.
Yes. I believe this is how it all started. I was following up my divorce, and actually another friend of mine also divorced the same year. It was really funny because in the same year, we divorced so many people of my friends, including the producer of the film, including the cinematographer of the film. So it was a strange way that we all went into, and it was kind of a natural thing to make a film about. So yes, about Rules of Single Life.
And so so you're all wondering what went wrong in that film.
Yes, we were wondering what went wrong and more importantly, how to move on with our lives, that's what the rules, the new rules of moving on with your life.
By the way, it's Valentine's Day is coming up, and that can be painful if you don't have a partner. After your divorce, I don't know if you had painful Valentine's Days.
In Rules of Single Life, actually, at the end of the film, I found another love, and I've been married now for 5 years, and I just got my baby, which is 5 months old.
Oh.
So actually, I believe it is painful, but I am not, I'm kind of not out there in the field.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful. So the new film, essentially, this is such the engineer, right? You're trying to hack love. You're trying to solve the code.
Yeah.
So tell us how this started.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like before I had a film degree, I graduated as a machine engineer. So most of my friends are actually, I think 85% are engineers in Helsinki. So one of them came to me, Atanas, with one of the main characters in the film, the scientist, and he came to me after the premiere of Rules of Single Life and said, okay, listen to me now. Well, the film was nice, funny, but it cannot help me. You know, I didn't see any that can be used. You know, for me as an engineer, I need to have examples of what I should do, like step one, you should do this, step two, step three. And I said to him, like, okay, why do you ask it for me? If you want, you're an engineer, develop yourself that kind of system. So he actually started working on this, and I think 2 or 3 years he was developing kind of a technical or kind of, yes, a scientific approach to love or to women. And then he systemized the whole thing, and he had a different kind of ideas of what should be done, and then he tested it on himself. He was for about 5 years single. 5 years he'd been single, or even more, seven, I don't remember anymore. And then he started doing these scientific tests on himself, and then he got extremely fast married and in love, and then he got a baby almost like right away. And I was like, wow, what happened? And he said, like, I have the know-how. I know it. I know how to do it. And if you give me 5, as he said, guinea pigs, I can show it, and I can show it to the world. And I was like, okay. So, of course, I found very easily around from my other single engineer friends, 5 guys who were very willing to test themselves and to be part of this experiment. So this is how the whole film started. We start finding the scientific approach, or we start looking how to crack the law.
That's interesting. So he's looking at a scientific approach, and it worked for him. So he's excited.
Yes, and it worked for him. And to be honest, I should not maybe spoil the film, but it worked for other guys too from the group.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that there is something that works in this. Well, I should not spoil the film for people who haven't seen it or who are going to see it, but there is something in the film there, like there is a kind of formula. So.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about his process. He's trying to, I've seen you quoted as saying, engineers control humans in gameplay, right? So this is just one step further, just real life.
Yes, it's a real life. And there are different things, like we made many tests. And I don't know, one, for example, was about the human pheromones. There have been so much. We had a different professors or like who have been working on different kind of scientific approach, just, you know, different kind of parts of science. And one of them was about pheromones. And he explained that the pheromones are really much used with animals, but with humans, it's not really proven. So we had a test the test, for example, was that we put our guys in a fitness. Like they were running for 1 hour, and then we had their wet t-shirts together with some wet t-shirts from very sexy actors in great shape. So we gave those t-shirts to a group of ladies, and of course 85% of them actually pick up the t-shirt from the sexy actor and said that this is the best smell. But in the other 15%. Actually, they pick up specific guy that they like the smell. So we made a date between her and the guy she liked the smell of, and it's kind of similar experiment. And you have seen the film how it worked out, but this is something that we did as a kind of field test about, and in order to prove what is the potential. Because sometimes, for example, the smell it's much stronger. Kind of attraction, kind of it's much stronger you attract to smell than to the way the person looks like.
Mm.
For example, different tests was the way we speak or the speech we speak, and then again we made some tests with ladies and how the brain reacts to different kind of speech and how loud it was, and so on. Many different experiments with it. But for example, this with the pheromone was very interesting also to me.
Yeah.
So.
You said you were, I guess it was fairly easy to find guinea pigs, so called. People, I guess they want to find love, so they were willing to participate in your experiment, or his experiment.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it was really easy to find. So also, guys, and also like our guys was. But also ladies were really easy because when the previous film Rules of Single Life cinemas in Finland and also in other countries, but when it came to cinemas, people saw that we are not abusing in any way the women or the trust or like we are really kind of taking care of each in our film to be presented in very good light. So we are not kind of doing anything bad. So. All the people knew our previous film, so it was easy to convince them that we are again not going to abuse them or their personality. It's just a scientific test, and they should be as honest as possible. So yes, it was quite easy finding people who are very interested also in the scientific test we did, and they wanted to know for themselves. what is this thing?
So as you say, as a filmmaker, you're a fly on the wall, so to speak. It must have been very interesting to watch all of this unfold.
Yes, it was really interesting. Yes.
So you've talked about the smell test. I guess you I don't know, some of this, most of this is in what, nightclubs? Where did you go?
No. We have, of course, in the no, laboratories.
Oh, laboratory. Okay, actual laboratory. Yeah.
Were done in, yes. Yeah, actual laboratories. We had on board the Helsinki Technical University. We had on board like really proper scientists from Finland who were helping us, like the biggest specialists. And we had idea to go also to America or to Columbia or University or whatever there is the science about it. But then just the budget didn't really allow it, so we kind of stayed in Finland. But mostly laboratories and this kind of tests, of course. Then when we found out that particular girl likes some of our engineers, we create the environment like a date. I mean, they went to a restaurant or to a club, and then we kind of follow them up from far away and see, or kind of follow up the situation and see if it's going to work out or not. So, yes, there were clubs and bars and everything, but the proper test we did in laboratories.
Interesting. Now, this is very interesting, and it was successful, of course, for Atanas, right? And we don't want to ruin the film, but it sounds like successful for at least one of the people in the film. But on the other side, I imagine people would be a little bit skeptical about this. You can't create love, right? You can't create it. It just has to happen.
Well, I don't know. Of course, I have in me the two sides. I have the engineer and then the film director. So I have the romantic and then the scientific part. And of course, to be honest, you can't really create love, but you can create circumstances in which love can find its own way. So yes, you cannot create that feeling. You cannot create like just click a button and someone is in love with someone else, but there is ways of you convincing or kind of making the other person be more available, if I can put it that way.
Right.
And for example, there is another thing, like for one of our characters or from our guys, it was hard for him to be himself in this date, so we create a character. He's a character in the film. He plays captain on the ship. And it's much easier to talk about himself as a captain than as an engineer. So if this works for him, okay. And then at some point, he found a girl, and she was like, but you're not the real captain. So that's another level. But the point is to find the tools to kind of be more comfortable or kind of, like, for example, it's not in the film, but we had this system of what you should say on the first, on the third, on the fifth, on the seventh minute in this kind of speed date situation. Actually, part of it is in the film. And then it's kind of easier for them to talk. Like, if you ask her what's your on the third minute, what's your favorite color, and she says brown, then on the seventh minute, you start talking about chocolate. Then on the 15th minute, it's again this kind of little, I don't know, are they like tricks or things, but they are kind of, there is a little bit science and a little bit, not so much science, but there is little things to kind of make the other person feel more comfortable, if I can say this.
Okay.
And also maybe you feel better and easier to kind of communicate, because most of these guys' problem, if I can say problem, it's about communication. It's not about the way they look. It's just because most of the time they have spent in whatever, in front of computers or laboratories, or the communication stuff. Skills have disappeared. In one moment when they're over 30, they start looking back for these skills and they have gone in some way. So if you tell, okay, I have this formula and these tools, you might be able to find love. And they're like, yeah, sure, why not?
So I see what you're saying is that these are skills, these are tools which can help you if you do find a person who's compatible.
Absolutely. Yeah. And these are tools to help you find a compatible person.
Right.
That you might have a long run. Because we never in our film, we never kind of concentrate on the one night thing. This wasn't our thing, you know. We never look for this. We always want to find what is the approach to love and how does it feel if you find it. And so this was what we were aiming at always. Mm-hmm. So
now you're a film.
Then, we have an experiment. And we have in our film one experiment also, which was I think just I noticed 2 weeks ago or something. It was in New York Times. They wrote about it. It's about when you meet a person that you've never met before, and then you stare on each other's eyes for 3-4 minutes, and then for 3-4 minutes you talk some really personal kind of secret thing that you never shared to anyone, and then I don't know, there is some tools to open some kind of chemicals float in your brain, and these little things actually, if you know how to use them, they might work for you. And these are scientifically proven things. It's not something we found out. It's something that has existed for some time.
Hmm. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more with Tonislav Ristov. His latest film just out is called Love and Engineering. And it follows a Bulgarian man, Atanas, and he selects several willing guinea pigs. They're trying to hack love. They're saying that, at least according to the engineering mind, you can break down relationships into a series of transactions that should always yield the same result time after time. So they've had some success with this. The film, very interesting film, Love and Engineering, premiered at Tribeca Film Festival, and it's now premiering at other festivals and venues. And Tonislav Ristov is a Bulgarian man. He is living in Finland, and that's where we have reached him. He's our guest this hour. We're looking toward Valentine's Day. Can you hack love? We'll talk more about this following the break.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and Drs. Cameron Peterson and Jonathan Swenson, Logan Regional Orthopedics, offering non-surgical treatments for pinched nerve pain, back and neck pain, and chronic problems such as tendonitis and arthritis, helping athletes and older patients return to full function, 435-716-2800.
It's an app that scored 25,000 users on its first day, and that really was nothing.
300 million plus people use this service around the world, two-thirds of which are international.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the guy who co-founded the billion-dollar baby called Instagram. Next time on Marketplace.
Thursday night at 7 on Utah Public Radio.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. We're looking ahead to Valentine's Day that's coming up on Saturday. It can be a great day if you've got someone special. Can be a not-so-great day if you don't. And we're talking about Love and Engineering, its new film. It follows a Bulgarian software engineer in living in Finland, Atanas Boev. He thinks he can crack the code for love. Using a theory he's developed, he's found himself a wife. He's eager to test his hypothesis on some of his geeky single friends. We're talking with the director of the film, Tonislav Ristov. We have reached in Finland. Let's hear the trailer to the film.
I actually haven't had a girlfriend. I kind of have been single for the last 30 years.
I'm giving the presentation since I already got married, so this is, let's say, the practical proof that it is possible for engineer to find a wife. You won't get the Claudia Schiffer type, but you get something that is good enough for a lifetime.
I suppose I'm your blind date.
Yes.
I'm Todor. Nice to meet you.
Alexander.
So somehow I get distracted sometimes.
Oh. Anyone.
Relax.
La la la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. Pardon me, I don't mean to stare, but you look so handsome over there.
Yeah, so hi, I'm Todos.
Hello, I'm Kati.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So, what are you doing?
It went like better than I expected.
Maybe she likes you. Maybe she actually likes you.
Don't lie. I hate liars and I'll beat you.
Okay, this time I'll be myself. And there is a person for everyone.
Are all of you ashamed of being engineers?
Most of the time. You can tell her later.
you can tell her later that you're an engineer, I guess. So there's the trailer to Love and Engineering. So it sounds like some charming fellows. So for example, Todor there, we were introduced to several of the characters here. Tony Stoff, Ristov, I want to talk about roles we play. It's you know, I heard one of the men there, Todor, said, I guess I'm your blind date for the night. So there's a role, right? And you earlier talked about one of the men who is more comfortable playing this role as captain, right? So we all play roles, I think.
Yes. I what is also interesting, what we found out in the process of making the film, that it's much easier to kind of not be yourself, at least at the beginning. Of course, most of the people, they put up some face, and they are, of course, always the first week is the nice week, and everyone is playing some role. And then at some moment, as we joke, the better version has gone, and then it goes to real life.
Right.
But most of the people, we put up face, and sometimes it's easier. That's why I would say that it's really easy kind of in the internet dating world, because it's one thing to introduce yourself through internet and to kind of show your best side, and it's a different thing when you go face to face and you kind of have to be yourself to some level. So yes, roles are important, and if it helps you, you should be in a character as long as it takes.
It's as long as it takes, you say, because I understand what you're saying, and we all do it, and I totally understand. You know, the first date, the first week, you're on your best behavior, and then the real stuff comes out.
Yes.
But on the other hand, you might say that's dishonest, right? So, you know,
I don't know is it dishonest. I mean, like I don't know why it should be dishonest if you fall in love with particular person who acts in particular way, and you fall in love with him, and then later on, yeah, this other himself or the real him, if we can call it this, when it comes out, it might be something that you totally don't like. So, I don't know. Like I mentioned in the film, one of the characters was pretending to be kind of a sea captain. So in reality, he found a girlfriend, and there was at some point. Of course, I don't know, week or 2 weeks or a month later, he said actually he's an engineer. But then till that level, anymore, his profession or these things didn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. So in that's why I say you kind of, if it helps you, you take it as long as you can, if it helps, of course.
Now I'm wondering, so the so-called guinea pigs, the men recruited by Atanas, they're using these scientific methods. Now, the women that they're going out with, do they know? Are they in on the secret, or do they find that out later?
No, absolutely, everyone is on. And
okay.
All the women, of course, they're really aware. Also, the ones that have been participating in blind dates or in all the laboratory tests, even when we film in the clubs, We say the DJ puts a note and that we are filming a documentary by this director and it's going to tell the story of this and that. In Finland, of course, like in all Europe, I guess also in America, you have to put a big poster on the entrance on the club if you're filming there. And if someone that it's kind of in close-up and he says that he doesn't want to be in the film, then you have to put a... We collect signatures after the screening, after the filming, so everyone should be aware of what we are doing and what this film about. So definitely, absolutely everyone is aware. Mm-hmm. And much of the critics, it's interesting that after Tribeca and all the rest, all the other festivals, that many people have been saying, why we never hear from the women, you know, and in the film, like how they feel about the blind date. And then I just felt like when we were making the films, of course, I had some sessions with the ladies who were in the blind date and asked what went wrong and how we can help them and all these things. But then I felt that this film is not about this. It's not about the two sides of a date. It's really kind of men's point of view to the situation. But what is really funny is that actually mostly women do appreciate the film because they really enjoy kind of seeing the other side of the story. Mm-hmm. And I did some interviews, but we finally didn't end up in the film. You know, you cannot ask... Because the previous film, Rules of Single Life, in Variety, was compared in some way to Sex and the City. And in the Sex and the City, you have these four very subjective points of views. So in this film, it's the same. It's the guy's point of view to the situation.
Yeah, the guy's point of view. If you just joined us, so we're talking with Tonislav Ristov. He is a Bulgarian man living in Finland, and that's where we're talking to him from. His latest film is Love and Engineering, and it follows a 3D engineer, Atanas Boev. He recruits some guinea pigs, some friends, to test a scientific formula for love and dating. And he had success in his own life, found a wife that way, and so he wanted to see if this would work with others. That's what the film's about. We're pointing to Valentine's Day with this discussion. You're welcome to join it at 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495. Tell us your experience. What do you think this could be boiled down to, a scientific formula, is a good idea or not? You can also join us on Twitter, at Utah Public Radio, and you can join us by email to upraxis@gmail.com, upraxis@gmail.com. We're going to take another break. When we come back, more with Tonislav Ristov and Love and Engineering.
The current PT Young Artists in Residence have made a keyboard concerto by Bach work for saxophone quartet.
We've changed some things here and there, only to really give it the identity of the Canary Quartet.
The Canary Quartet will talk about making all kinds of music work for saxophones on the next Performance Today from APM.
Thursday morning at 11 on Utah Public Radio.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and Crumb Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan, open Monday through Saturday until 3, featuring lunch, panini, salads, sandwiches, and soups, full menu at crumbbrothers.com.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. We're talking with the director, Tonislav Ristov. He is a Bulgarian-born, Helsinki-based engineer-turned-director. His previous documentary, Rules of Single Life, examined his own divorce and that of four friends, wondering what had gone wrong. His latest film is Love and Engineering. It takes that concept one step further. It follows Atanas, a Bulgarian 3D engineer living in Finland. He tries to empirically prove what he calls the theory of love, a pseudoscientific way to attract women. He's obsessed with his theory. It has worked for him, for example, and he works in his laboratory with his friends as willing guinea pigs. And so we're talking with the director, Tonislav Ristov, on the program today. We have another 10 minutes or so left in the program. You can join us at 1-800-826-1495, upraxis@gmail.com, and you can join us on Twitter at Utah Public Radio. Love to get your perspective on these ideas. So from the trailer... I was very interested in hearing some of these men, and I love that one line. I can't remember which, I don't know which character this was or which man, but he says, we can tell them we're engineers later, right? So I don't know. Some women don't like to go for the nerdy guys.
yes. I guess, especially in Finland, there is really, really many engineers. Let's put it like it's the homeland of Nokia and Rovio and Angry Birds, and so there are really many engineers there. So I guess engineer is not the ideal type of, if I can say so. Yes, yeah. There was an idea in the film that you should not tell at the beginning that you're an engineer, and later on, kind of again.
Yeah, so you
a character, and then.
So you were an engineer before you became a filmmaker.
Yes, I graduated as an engineer, but I've never worked as one. And then I started studying filmmaking. But okay. Yeah, I have a master's degree in machine engineering, so yeah. I know what is to study together with 200 other guys and have four ladies in the whole group. So yeah, I can understand that at some point you lose connection to how to communicate with women. So yeah.
But I think these are universal themes, right? I think many of us have wondered, is there someone out there for me? And you wonder if you'll find that person.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, of course, in this film, the main characters are engineers, but the question and then the feelings they have are absolutely universal. And in that moment, I have to tell that this is anyway a romantic documentary kind of genre, which doesn't really exist, but it's like this. Mm-hmm. So all the subjects are really universal. And the emotions and the reactions, everyone from the first can relate to them.
I wonder, I'm sure you've thought about this, virtual reality. Many of us these days are living, extensive lives in virtual reality. So you're kind of bringing some of these concepts into real life.
Yep. And this is really, really sometimes the hardest thing, because some of those guys, they have been living in this other world for a very long time. And then somehow they are very scared of disappointment. And that is something we cannot run away from. Because in this virtual reality, you can be there, you can be a different person, you can be anything you want. And if you don't get cut off in some sense, you don't get disappointed, and in real life it happens, and that's what they cannot, most people who doesn't go out of this reality, deal with, and this is what we try to kind of take them out on the street and tell them it's okay to get disappointed or to get that someone cuts you off. It just makes you stronger and makes you understand more who you are and what your real feelings are about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think being scared of disappointment, that's why many people choose to stay in that virtual reality.
And the virtual reality, one of the attractions, of course, that it is controlled, right? You don't have the disappointments and some of the other things that you have in real life. So I can see the attraction of a person coming out of virtual reality, going into reality, that if you have a kind of a step by step, it's a process that I can follow, that might help a person.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's it. And this is also in our film, we kind of did it step by step for some of the guys coming, going out of this virtual reality, because one of them, particularly, it was most of the time living in this other world. Mm-hmm. And he's a DJ, and he was using the other world of us living as DJ, and he was working as DJ there, and he was playing music there and everything. But in real life, he was just a coding engineer. So, he liked much more being a DJ in the virtual reality than a software engineer in the first life. I can have to kind of take him out and,
So I can also see that if you're playing a role in say, Second Life and virtual reality, that it might be more comfortable for you initially to play a role as you as some of these people did. The one guy played a role as a ship's captain, right, when you come into reality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was that was what Atanas suggested. He had just said, like, okay, if it's more comfortable for you to be in a character, just go in real life as a character and see how far it will take you or would it make you feel better. And it really worked out for this guy because at the end of the day, he was single for a very long time and now he's been in a very long relationship. And that's great. I think they're even engaged or something.
Wonderful. Did he go on dates as a ship's captain?
Absolutely. And they're extremely funny ones in the film.
Yep. but at some point, he's got to take his ship's captain hat off, right? And be himself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when it happened in real life, there was much conversation, and we were really... In the film, the sea captain, it didn't went that long, but I know in real life we talked after it when he actually told her that he's an engineer. And it was fine at some point, just at the beginning, he felt much more comfortable being in this character role. So it worked out for him, and the girl stayed with him. It wasn't like big drama. Oh, you told me that you were this and that. It didn't matter at some point what you are. It's just about the first impression that you leave.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, one of the questions posed in the film is it good to work your way through life? Not only dating, work your way through life scientifically. Is that a good thing? You know, for some, the answer is yes.
I don't know, but we are, many people are doing it. They are moving scientifically through life. I mean, like, many people do need to know exactly precise what's happening with them and you know, just... Also, when you look at our days, we have this routine of doing things at concrete moment, minute and second, and everything needs to be planned and organized and everything. So for many people, going on a date and knowing minute by minute about, let's say, we don't have this in the film, but we work around it by knowing what you should say and what you should do, kind of, it helps them so much. You know, they feel much more comfortable. They go there and they know I have the plan, what I should do and say, and at least the first 1 hour, and then I should decide what should I do. Should I continue with myself? So yes, definitely. Going scientifically is this science.
So now...
It definitely helps.
Oh, sorry. So this process, it worked for Atanas, right? It worked for some people in the film. Is he going to... I could see him, you know, he could monetize this. He could jump into the dating industry.
Yes, of course. I mean, like, we were pitching this project when it was still in the process to many international forums, and it won. And we have also cross media, which went in the other direction. But we have, of course, many companies like OkCupid or Tinder or any who are interested in these things and this science. But it needs really much work. And at the end, the film, as I said, it's kind of a romantic documentary. It's not really a scientific National Geographic or History Channel kind of, or Science Channel kind of documentary. So yes, we made a film that it's for everyone. It's not scientific documentary. Mm. Which is very important to know.
Just have 2 minutes left. I wonder what this is. The first film was very personal, right? Rules of Single Life. You examined your own divorce and four friends, and this one you're looking at love as well. I wonder, for you personally, what have you come away from this film thinking about process of dating and marriage?
Well,
and love?
I'm kind of what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that there is something out there, and it's just a question of time when someone will know more about it. And it's really interesting that in the process we find out that there is also, which we're going to make a new film about, which is called Mathematics of Divorce, that there is actually a proper mathematic predicting if one marriage will fail or not, up to 90-something%, which is, like, amazing. So mathematics and science, they really play a big part in our life. And I do believe that we will soon have some pretty big results that everyone will be, well, we did not see this coming.
So
I believe that there is something out there.
So you're going to continue with this, applying you know, these engineering concepts, mathematical formulas to life, kind of thing.
Yes, and we will continue working on it, as I said, and of course, I'm not a scientist, and I'm more interested in the human side of the things, like in the emotion side of things, and yes, we will continue making films about it, and make films which are funny and witty and kind of open to everyone, not just closed for particular part or group of people, just for everyone, kind of. We'll show the secrets of the science to everyone. That's the idea.
You'll share the secrets. Very good. Well, we've been talking with Tonislav Ristov. He is living in Finland. That's where we have reached him. His latest film is Love and Engineering, and it premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival, and it's now out and available. So Tonislav Ristov, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you.
And coming up tomorrow, Sherry Quinn is in with Access Utah on Science Questions. Hope you'll join her tomorrow. For my producers, I'm Tom Williams. Thanks for listening today.
Welcome to Wild About Utah, a Utah Public Radio production featuring contributors who share a love of nature, preservation, and education.
Though another national park in Utah is famous for arches, Zion National Park has more than you might imagine. Doubt it? Next time you visit the park, take a good look around. All the elements for arch building are readily on hand in Zion. A natural arch is formed when deep cracks penetrate into a sandstone layer. Erosion wears away the exposed rock layers and the surface cracks expand, isolating narrow sandstone walls or fins. Water, frost, and the release of tensions in the rock cause crumbling and flaking of the porous sandstone and eventually cut through some of the fins. The resulting holes become enlarged to arch proportions by rockfalls and weathering. Worldwide, arches number in the tens of thousands, and probably no place is more suited for their creation than the Colorado Plateau, home of Zion National Park. The vast geology of Zion has created environments as widespread and varied as the topography of the park itself. Hidden in its geologic grandeur are dozens, perhaps hundreds, of freestanding arches of all shapes and sizes. Although freestanding arches may be found in many different types of geologic formations, the Navajo Sandstone Formation, which makes up the magnificent cliffs of Zion, provides a fertile setting for the creation of these ribbons of rock. Among the many arches in Zion, two stand out, Crawford Arch and Kolob Arch. Crawford Arch is the most visible, clinging to the base of Bridge Mountain 1,000 feet above the Zion Canyon floor. It's frequently pointed out to casual observers by an interpretive sign located on the front patio of the Human History Museum. The other famous arch in Zion is not so easily seen. It's located deep in the backcountry of the National Park's Kolob Canyons District and takes a 7-mile hike to reach. Kolob Arch is hidden in a small side canyon, perched high on the canyon wall. For most of the 20th century, many believed that Kolob was in fact the world's largest freestanding arch, leading to years of debate and the motivation for various parties of adventurous thrill seekers to climb on and around the massive span in hopes of securing a defensible measurement. The Natural Arch and Bridge Society long has pondered this question, and using lasers and an agreed-upon definition of what should be measured, says Landscape Arch, in Arches National Park, is the world's longest stone arch. But don't be surprised if the debate continues. The definition used by the Society centers on the maximum horizontal extent of the opening. That opening, beneath Landscape Arch, measures right around 290.1 feet. The opening beneath Zion National Park's Kolob Arch, which long had been in the running for world's largest, measures 287.4 feet, according to the group. Kolob Arch has become a favorite backcountry destination for thousands of visitors to Zion. They discover what most arch seekers will tell you. While beauty awaits every seeker at the end of the path, the reward begins unfolding at the trailhead. Anxious to see another arch but not ready for a 14-mile round-trip hike? Then head for Double Alcove Arch. A 5-mile round trip along the Taylor Creek Trail takes you into a narrow box canyon toward the Double Arch Alcove, where erosion has carved out natural openings in the Navajo sandstone. For National Parks Traveler, I'm Patrick Cohn.
Wild About Utah is a production of Utah Public Radio. For transcripts and archived audio of Wild About Utah, go online to upr.org and click on the Wild About Utah link. Support for Wild About Utah on UPR is made possible in part by our listeners and the Quinney College of Natural Resources at Utah State University, where students and faculty promote the sustainability of ecosystems and the communities that depend on them. Information at cnr.usu.edu.
On The Next Humankind, we consider the challenge of forgiveness. Most people regard it as a virtuous trait, yet for many of us, forgiveness can come hard. We hear from Robin Kasarjian, who suffered severe trauma and had to work through the normal reactions of anger and resentment. Today, she brings those hard lessons to her work with prisoners. I'm David Freudberg. Join us for Humankind.
Thursday night at 8:30 on Utah Public Radio.
Access Utah is a production of Utah Public Radio. You can listen to this episode or previous episodes of Access Utah anytime at upr.org, where you can find a link to subscribe to our podcast. This is Utah Public Radio, KUSR HD1 Logan, KUSK HD1 Vernal, KUSL HD1 Richfield, KUST HD1 Moab, KCEU Price, and KUSU FM HD1 Logan.